Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. I read on Facebook last week a comment from a woman who said she was having trouble making ends meet because of inflation. Yeah, we definitely all get that. She complained about how high prices were and that home prices and rents were also moving into the stratosphere. Yep, I totally agree with that too. She then went on a familiar diatribe saying if only the greedy corporations could be reined in and their excessive profits taken from them and redistributed to worthwhile endeavors and people needing assistance, our problems would be solved. She concluded by repeating the familiar words often seen at protests, corporations aren't people. It's frustrating to me that many have swallowed the idea that corporations are the root of all evil. After all, a corporation is just a tax structure and identifying moniker for an entity in order to navigate the legal and civil landscapes of business. Although there are many ways to operate a business, such as a sole proprietary entity or a partnership, to name a few, a corporate structure is the most popular for many businesses and larger conglomerates. In contrast to the belief of our Facebook contributor, corporations are nothing but people. In fact, without people, there would be no corporation. The corporate structure exists primarily to benefit the people that work in it, the people that buy from it, the shareholders that finance it, and the government coffers that need its taxes. We hear a lot about how corporate profits are excessive or that they pay no taxes or very little taxes. But those claims are usually made by those that don't understand accounting principles or are convoluted and complicated tax laws. Truth be told, few do. After all, the IRS tax code is 70,000 pages, hence the propensity for misunderstanding the whole mess and the reason people gravitate to the common cliches in order to flip the proverbial middle finger upwards at many of the largest corporations and blame them for their plight. A wise man once said, or perhaps it was a woman, I'm not sure, no one is poor because someone else is rich. Winston Churchill added to the wisdom by saying, you don't make the poor rich by making the rich poorer. Both statements illustrate a clearer understanding of monetary economics than the proverbial protest signs wanting to dismantle the corporate entities of the world. Corporations merely collect the votes of consumers that want to buy their stuff. After all, make something people don't want and you'll have no profits. Make something people want a lot of and they'll cast their votes your ways, votes being the dollars people spend on the purchase of whatever it is you are making. Successful companies, including corporations, sell stuff that people want, and therefore they get a lot of votes. In other words, they get a lot of money. And when they sell a lot of stuff, they hire people to make that stuff. Another buzz phrase people repeat often are those greedy, excessive profits by corporations, whatever that means. Exxon, for example, makes about 7 cents per gallon of gas. On the flip side, the Tax Foundation estimates that between 1981 and 2008, oil and gas companies sent more dollars to Washington and the state capitals than they earned in profits for shareholders. For example, while Exxon Corporation makes about 7 cents, the feds in the state of California collect about 10 times that much on a gallon in tax. So which profits seem excessive? The company that makes the gas and gets 7 cents, or the governments that collect 10 times as much for basically doing very little? It doesn't stop with gas companies. McDonald's makes about 6 cents per hamburger, and California residents pay about 20 cents in tax to the state for that burger. And in all the other companies that sell stuff, and the greedy entity seems to be the deep state instead of all those greedy corporations people seem to blame. And can anyone prove to me someone is poor because somebody else is rich? There are plenty of greenbacks floating around, as everybody knows, and basically there is no shortage of U.S. dollars in the world. With all the government spending, one could say there are way too many of them. So why is it our Facebook lady doesn't seem to have enough greenbacks herself? I don't know. Truth be told, the state and federal government and their propensity of spending way too many dollars is the real reason our Facebook friend can't afford her grocery bill. It's no secret to someone that knows how monetary and fiscal policy affect consumer prices, however. Problem is, not enough people understand the relationship between government spending and its effect on inflation. Simply put, the flood of dollars created by the Federal Reserve and the massive overspending and overtaxation by governments everywhere causes most of the terrible inflation we see. So maybe we should make a new protest sign. That does it for today's Money Matters. I'm watching the market so you don't have to. Remember, this newscast expresses my opinion only and does not represent the opinion of this radio station and staff members or underwriters. I hold a BA in economics with honors 1979 and California insurance license OL34249. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for listening. Money.
crime. Share it, fair it, but don't take a slice of mine.